This episode of the Last Drinks podcast is sponsored by Zecca Skin. Zecca Skin specializes in high-quality men's skincare products that not only benefit the health of your skin, but also support men's mental health. Use discount code LASTDRINKS25 at checkout to get 25% off all Zecca Skin products. And if you wish to support the show, you can now donate via Buy Me A Coffee. That's www.buymeacoffee.com/lastdrinks. All donations will go to keeping the show running and thriving. We greatly appreciate all the support we've received from our fans and followers. Now sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the Last Drinks podcast.
Look, I always say this to everyone. The more money you make, the more money you can help. The more money you make, the more people you can help. So I want you to start switching your mind. Mindset that if you're a multimillionaire, it's going to be better off going in your pocket than some other guy that's doing something else with his money, because you're going to give it back. Same with me. I'm going to be a multimillionaire this year, and I'm going to be able to buy a retreat, and I'm going to help more humans, and then I can actually invest in helping drug addicts, and I can change the world, you know.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. And that's a way to start this podcast. This is Last Drinks, and this is Natalie Patterson. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
It's a bit of an impromptu start, but there we go.
Isn't it?
So you market yourself as a business ascension coach.
Ascension.
We have to say it twice.
Actually, funnily enough, I am about to relaunch in the next month or so. Something exciting is coming. It's been brewing for a while, and I feel like as my soul continues to evolve, so does my name. And I decided to put up last week that I was business ascension coach. This week, that's what I feel like.
So by the time this is out, she's still going to be a business ascension coach. But then in a couple of weeks, she could be something else.
I could be something else. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you even when we've been exchanging messages, you relayed that you've kind of dabbled your hands in lots of different areas in the coaching space anyway. Yeah. So you've got plenty of expertise. And I guess with coaches, I've found, I mean, a lot of them do like to share a lot of advice and wisdom and inspire and motivate others through, I guess, what they've learned on their self-development journey, whether it's what they've read, podcasts they've listened to, mentors they've invested in.
Yeah.
But my interest with some of them is always what they can inspire and motivate others through their lived experience.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, and so that's what brings you here today, because you shared with me that you've had bit of a journey yourself with lots of fun areas.
Yep, a few dark paths, a few wrong turns, bit of a twist.
I mean, those things, I mean, you mentioned addiction.
Yep.
You mentioned mental health issues.
Yep.
You also mentioned an eating disorder.
Yes.
As well, which
is quite common. That you listen.
Yeah.
Good listener.
A man who listens, apparently.
Ooh, oh, it's a thing, ladies, line up.
But yeah, so before, you know, the Natalie that sits with us today, what was the Natalie in her formative years?
That's a great question. So I really started the dark path when I was 17. My auntie died in a sudden car accident, and then my grandfather died of cancer, and then a few months later my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And within the space of 6 months, I was unsure of how the fuck to deal with my emotions, and I went to suppressing my emotions. And from there, that led me on my dark, scary path, and I started with escaping by doing a lot of drugs and drinking a lot. And then one day I was introduced to ice, and I thought, oh, fuck it, why not? You know, I'm already here now. And so this addiction literally took over my life for years. And it was the lying, the manipulating, the low vibration, the getting away with anything that I could just so that I could have this addiction. It was going in and out of crack houses. And I feel like it was such a fucking different life that I currently live. And I remember being so addicted and being in such a dark hole that the only way I thought to get out of here was actually to commit suicide. I felt so much shame, and I always teach this actually in my coaching sessions, is the lowest vibration a person can radiate at is shame. And when we're in this low vibration, all we're attracting is this dark badness in our life, let's say. And so I was writing it at this really shame frequency, and, you know, every single thing possible was going wrong. Mm. I got myself off ice and I was sober for a few weeks, and then one of my best friends ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to the hospital and saw her, she was in a car accident. And when I saw her, like, in hospital, I remember thinking to myself, that should have been me. And it was so much guilt and so much shame that then resulted in my binge eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was still dabbling in and out of addictions for years. Quite literally from the ages of 18, probably through to about 24.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just completely to escape. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough that at 22, I wanted to escape the matrix. I have this very rebellious personality. And I started an eyelash business. So I knew that I didn't want to work for the man.
Mm.
I was like, fuck the man. I'm going to go work on my own. And I created this eyelash business, which I could do from home. And I had this beautiful little puppy that was like my right-hand man. He's still my right-hand man. And I was able to start doing lashes from home. However, this was also a really dark path. I was consistently working. Mm. I would work 16-hour days, and on my days off, I would be getting high as fuck on any other drug that I could, also doing a lot of alcohol. And it was just like this extreme mess.
Mm.
I was binge eating with food. I had this terrible addiction to food. I had this terrible addiction to drugs. I was had this terrible addiction to overworking, just because I didn't want to sit with myself.
Yeah.
For such a long time, I was single for 4 years. I didn't have sex because I was too embarrassed about my body. And it was just like every possible mental health issue I was facing.
Mm.
Depression, anxiety, insecurities. And this led me down such a fucking lonely, dark path. And I had lots of friends, I like to call them, that I thought were there for me. But really, when it came down to it, I was too insecure to tell them what was actually really going on in my head. And I know that a lot of other people struggle with this. And once the biggest piece, the turning point for me was, I had a beautiful eyelash client that came to me one day, and she said to me, "Babe, you're fucked." And I was like, "You know what? I am fucked. Someone help me." I was, you know, on my hands and knees. I was like, "Can someone help me?" Yeah.
Just blunt, straight to the point.
Oh, this is me, babe. I'm straight up and down. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "Have you ever tried meditation before?" And I was like, "You fucking hippie." Yeah, I was like, "There's no fucking way I'm going to meditate." And as it was, I actually thought I had ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And also, guys, just side note, you can totally choose to reject this. I don't believe there's such thing as ADHD. I actually think that we've been put in a box. Some people have really high, beautiful frequency energy, like I do. And I've learned to be able to calm my mind and be able to do one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught me how to meditate.
Yeah.
And then she said to me, "Come and do a kirtan class with me." I was like, "What the fuck is kirtan?"
Yeah.
And so I went to kirtan, and everyone's literally on their hands, not on their hands and knees.
No.
They're on their feet dancing Hare Krishna, and that's just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And I was thinking, where the fuck am I? Like, what's going on here?
Mm.
And then this wave of love hit me, and I was like, oh my God, I want to be a Hare Krishna. I was like, this is it.
Mm.
I'm going to sing in chants. And so I started doing mantra meditations every single day. And this loving vibration started to shift me.
Mm.
And so I started to connect with myself. And then it like literally opened up this beautiful, magical, spiritual journey that then took me on this big roller coaster. And now here I am in front of you.
to paint a picture of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Obviously, using lots of different avenues to escape drugs,
totally.
Alcohol, overworking.
Mm.
What was it that you were running from? Was it just that period of 6 months where it's just like there was just one casualty after another?
I think also too, I went through a really bad breakup, and that's kind of what like set it off again.
Mm.
And, you know, now being a coach and have educated myself and done a lot of different courses, I now know, this is my personal experience, that the lowest vibrations and the root core of a lot of different issues for many, many, many people is I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, and abandonment. And so I had this beautiful mixture of all three twirling and whirling in my body, and I just had no idea how to actually express it. And so I expressed it with escaping. And you know, I look at little kids and they're so good. If they're angry, they just scream it out. If they're sad, they just cry it out. Where I had a learnt behavior from myself to quite literally just suppress. And I just suppressed and suppressed and suppressed, and then I'm like, this is not fucking healthy. What am I doing? And it was kind of like I just was so asleep at the wheel. And I feel like a lot of people that have been through these similar issues sort of say the same thing. They were just totally asleep at the wheel, just kind of like in the third dimension, just fully in the matrix of the grind every fucking day. And they weren't happy, right? Like you mentioned before, like you were just in a job that you just weren't happy with one day, and then you one day you're just like snapped and you're like, I'm out of here.
It sort of just came after, like, it just built up just frustration and had basically a mental breakdown in the office.
And it's resentment too, right? It's like deep resentment, like, why the fuck? It's not even resentment to them though, it's resentment to yourself. It's like, why the fuck did I do this to myself? And then you have this epiphany, it's like, what am I doing? And then it's like, oh my God, who am I? Where am I? What am I? And it's like all these masks that we put on ourselves, and at one point we just have to rip all the masks off and be like, all right, come back to self. Who am I? What are my hobbies? What do I enjoy? And for me as well, biggest thing was just like cleaning up my shit, literally, like getting off drugs, getting off overeating. Like the amount of McDonald's that I used to eat was so fucked. No wonder I had mental health issues. Like that is not healthy fuel to put in your body, you know?
No. Sponsored by McDonald's? No, we're not.
We're not.
We're not sponsored by McDonald's yet. No, we're looking to sell. We're looking for alcohol companies to just buy us out so we can sell out.
That was the
joke that we started with.
Love it.
But I mean, what was the McDonald's order for you? What, just like the family pack or something? Or
I kid you not. Yeah. And I used to actually, at my worst, I would go down. I lived one street away from a McDonald's, KFC, like you name it, and then another street over was Woolworths. And so I used to go down, this is a bit vulnerable, guys, this is a bit vulnerable. So I used to go down to Woolworths and I used to buy a whole packet of strawberry Oreos. I used to buy a large apple pie and a large bottle of cream and like little $1 chocolates. By the time I was like home, I would have already eaten a couple of chocolates. Then I'd put the whole apple pie in there and I'd literally eat the whole apple pie and the whole bottle of cream. And I would have already had KFC, McDonald's and everything else. It was getting to the point where I was like having to make myself vomit not because I actually wanted to. I never really had bulimia. It wasn't really a thing, but to the point where my stomach would get so full, like genuinely, that I would feel like it was going to tear. And I remember calling my mum one night and saying, Mum, like I vomited a couple of times. Like I had to tell her at this point because I was like, this is fuck. This is getting out of control. And I was like, Mum, my stomach is so big that I feel like it's going to tear. And I was on the ground, like laying really flat, like crying that I had done this to myself. I was like, how the fuck am I abusing myself like this? You know, and for me, you know, going through a drug addiction and, when I saw my best friend die, I was like, I can't do this to myself anymore. But then unconsciously, I had then created this same sort of problem, just in a different way. And then it was like, how do I get out of this? But the dark loop was fucking looping so much that I just didn't know how to crawl out. I was like, how do I get out of this black hole that keeps sinking?
So the binge eating came after what the drug use.
And I think that was a way I was like shaming myself. And then another reason I stopped, well, I really wanted to get help with my binge eating disorder, was a really good friend of mine at that time. I really like the way I look, by the way. And I do really care about the way I dress. And I'm a very visual person. I love interior design and I love pretty things. And I had always really cared about the way I looked. And one of my good guy mates, like, took me out for dinner and he sat me down and he was like, I love you, sis. And you've really put on a heap of weight. Like, what's going on? And I just lost it. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much for asking me. I'm actually not okay. And he's like, I can tell. And I was like, fuck, at this point, none of my, like, all my friends had been tiptoeing around it. We'd been fucked up every weekend. Like, they don't care. We're going out having fun. That's the party girl, right? And then at this point, he was like, I can tell something's not okay because I know you and you wouldn't let yourself go like this. So something must be going on. At this point, though, I still couldn't put my finger on what it actually was.
Yeah.
So, like, before you asked, you know, like, what, where was it or what actually happened? I actually didn't know at this point. I was just feeling sorry for myself, I suppose. And I just, it was the suppression of, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So then when I did start the healing journey, fuck, it was big. All these years of suppression kind of like bubbled to the surface. I was like, oh my God.
Which is the natural thing. Just like that stuff comes up. It's like, oh God, it's just, no. It's like, I need something else to just,
get rid of it. To get rid of it. And then it was just, that's where the dopamine comes in. Like, what else can I get fully addicted to? It was actually a phase that I got fully addicted to Pornhub as well. And like, just full transparency, guys, anything that I could get my hands on to literally like get myself out of my own head.
Like, and it's got nothing to do even what you use. It's just to get the hit.
It's just get out of my head. Well, like, I have a very, I'm a very stimulated person. I have a lot of high energy, as you can tell. And yeah, it was just like, what's the next thing I can do? And at this point, I realized that I was fully escaping. And, you know, along the personal development journey, you listen to quite a lot of different books and different YouTubers. And I remember reading this book by Gabby Bernstein called The Universe Has Your Back. And that kind of unraveled a couple of layers of like, all right, I have to come back to myself. And I have to, if I want to connect to spirit guides and if I want to connect to the other side, then I have to fucking show up. Authentically and in alignment. And I was like, what does alignment even mean? And I went through this journey of, okay, how do I come back to myself? How do I love myself? And I think this is another thing that I love teaching is full self-love, coming back to self-love, coming back to yourself. When we're so busy with different distractions looking externally, we'll hold on a second, what's internally? How can we actually, you know, have that head-heart coherence, and then how can we bring it back into love? When love's of the highest vibration.
And how did you manage to get that for yourself? Because I guess that's what, you know, it starts with yourself, so then...
It starts with yourself, totally.
You'd have to start it with yourself and find self-love within yourself. Because usually, yeah, like if you're in a place where you love yourself and want the best for yourself, looking at something like taking drugs, drinking, watching porn, all these other sort of things, you think, oh, is that best serving me? And most of the time it's not, so you don't really want to indulge in it. And you got to commend your friend who was able to confront you.
Amazing.
Well, not confront you, but just it's like, hey, look, you know,
what's going on?
What's going on? Because there'll be a lot of people who think, oh, you shouldn't say that. That's especially a man saying that to a woman.
We had a like really good brother sister bond at that point. I was so grateful because that was the turning, like that was another huge turning point. Like, okay, I can't hide anymore. People are starting to notice.
And a real friend will confront you on that.
So that's, I was like very grateful.
A real friend's willing to risk, I guess, you know, a bit of conflict in your friendship, but like in their best interest because they care about you and they just they want to point out, you know, look, something's going on here it's not good.
And it, honestly, it was so pivotal for me to know that, okay, people can now see it, so I don't have to keep hiding it. Because that's another thing with binge eating is that it's like a fully hidden thing because it's a shaming thing. You're shaming yourself for how much you overeat, and so you don't want to tell other people. So it was like the combination of like having to call my mum that one night and then him saying that to me. And then I was seeing a psychologist at that point because I had decided that enough was enough. I had to actually help myself. I had to stop being the victim and actually fucking get to work. So I started seeing a psychologist, which I fucking hated, by the way. didn't do the job. And I was listening at that point to meditations of how to get out of binge eating. And I also read a book, which I can't remember what it's called. And it talked about the animal mind and the human mind and how, like, we've got this reptilian... that's a reptilian part of our brain that actually will want to take over and will actually want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this instinct, and the more you feed it, the more it will crave.
Yeah.
And so when I read that book, it gave me a really good distinction of, okay, cool, I can separate the two. And so I just kept telling myself while I was like getting this, like eating all the time, I was like, all right, do I actually need this, or is this my animal brain? And I used to walk into the mirror, this is all intuitively, is to walk into the mirror and tell myself, like, you don't need to eat this.
Mm.
I'd actually call myself bitch sometimes. I'm like, bitch, you don't fucking need this. Like, you've got this, you know? And now one of the biggest things I teach is mirror work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran a beautiful retreat over the weekend with 32 incredible humans. And I asked my beautiful PA to go to 4 different Kmarts and find big mirrors. I spent almost $800 on mirrors just so that I could do this incredible mirror technique to allow people to fully self-connect through love, through embodiment, and through the practice of training your unconscious mind to tell yourself that you are beautiful, that you are worthy, that you are whole. And, you know, the unconscious mind runs 90-95% of your program. So if we can reprogram our unconscious mind, we're able to have a happier life.
Mm.
And so it's funny that way back then, before I was spiritual or before I knew any of this incredible self-development stuff that I now teach, I was able to intuitively do these things.
Mm.
And same with the day I decided to get off ice. I remember looking at myself in the mirror and being like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I called my whole family and I was like, we need to have a family meeting.
Mm.
And I remember sitting on my brother's knee being like, I'm done. Like, I'm on ice. You guys know it. I've lost 20 kilos. I'm fucked every night. Like, you don't see me for weeks on end.
Mm.
I like quit my job. I banged up my car. Like, I'm tapping out. Yeah. I need you to help me now.
So, yeah, it was just a decision.
And I believe, you know, like every single thing is a choice. When it comes down to it, it is a choice what you eat. Is it a choice who you hang out with? It is a choice where you spend your money. It is a choice if you meditate. It is a choice that you go to the gym. Like, it's every single thing. When you peel all the layers back of life, everything's a choice, right?
Mm. I guess, well, like, I mean, within regards to ice, it is very highly addictive. So I guess deciding to quit, but then committing to that, was there a pretty gruesome withdrawal process?
Oh my god. And it's like, how much do you share on a podcast? Like, oh, this is some pretty fucking hectic shit.
Yeah.
It was pretty hard. Mm. Probably the silliest thing I've ever done. And another massive turning point was I was so bad, just like being really transparent, I was so bad that I was so high one night I actually drove myself to the police station and handed myself in.
Mm-hmm.
I was so out of my mind and I was so scared. I was hanging out with some pretty scary people at that point. I had dug myself a little bit of a hole.
Yeah.
And just for like extra safety, plus I was paranoid, I drove myself to the police station and was like, put me in a cell so that no one can get to me.
Mm.
And I was almost in like psychosis.
Yeah.
And they found my parents' numbers and mum picked me up. Mum was like, oh my God, Natalie. And my beautiful parents, mum and dad, if you're listening to this, I fucking love you guys. they shut me in their bedroom for 24 hours and I had to get off ice. And I remember just having the most fucked up hallucinations.
Yeah.
And like convulsing and vomiting and just like getting off it was horrible. And then I was sober, I think, for 24 hours because I was when I was on ice, like really, really transparently, I was up for like 5 to 10 days at a time.
Mm.
Like at that point, your brain starts to fully shut off. And I actually listened to a podcast one day with Joe Rogan, and he was speaking about like dream state.
Mm.
When you don't sleep for a long period of time, you actually start to dream in your natural life.
Mm.
So it was like I was like always hallucinating. I thought I was just on drugs, but actually it probably was a bit of both, right? Mm. My body was also shutting down because I was, you know, up for 5 to 10 days not eating.
Mm.
Like I was in it, babe. I was pretty bad, you know. So yeah, I think I got off at that one time for like 24 hours, I think. And then or maybe 48 hours, and then I lied to my parents and said, oh, my friend really needs me, da-da-da-da. And I went and saw my friend. I promised mum and dad that I'd stay sober, and then that was it. I didn't come home for another 2 weeks. And then I think I came home again, and I was just, like, paranoid, skitzing out. My poor mum and dad were just like, what do we do with this woman? Like, what do we... Well, this kid, really. I was fucking... Oh, 18. Mum and dad were like, what do we do with her? And they just kept being there for me. And I'm sure there were so many times where they just wanted to kick me out, and they just kept holding me in love and kept, like, knowing that it was going to be okay. And it was... I mean, it was really hard for my brother and sister. They both were, like, cut me out, like, didn't want anything to do with me, which is so fair enough, because at that point they were like, I'm giving up on this bitch. Like, what is she doing, you know? I think I did the cycle a couple of times. I think I got sober for like a week, then I'd get on it again, then sober for a week, then I'd off it again. And then my cousin, second cousin, she lived in Perth, and her partner at the time, he was an ex-ice addict. And no one in my family at this point had been an ice addict, and I was like, no one understands me, no one gets me. This is kind of like the story I was telling everyone. And at this point, they were like, come and live with me. So I went over to Perth, and I lived with them for about 2 months, and then I was like, I'm fucking out of here. I really didn't align to being there. Met some pretty toxic people, and I was like, how am I calling this in? And it was like that night, I called my mum, and I'm like, Mum, I'm coming home, and I promise you, like, I'm done now. I'm done. I'm done playing the games. Like, I'm done. And that was it. I went home, got myself a job, and actually started working in an amazing position that I absolutely loved, put my heart and soul into it, and that was it. I got off it. So it was, a bit of a journey to get out of there. Definitely.
Which it usually is, and especially with something like that as well, which is highly addictive.
And it's so heavy as well. For anyone going through it, if anyone's listening and they're either in an addiction or, they've been through an addiction, I just want you to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that the only thing that is stopping you is you. And that know that there's so many people that you can reach out to that will genuinely help you. People are good people. Like, there's a lot of good humans in the world, and people want to help others. Like, we feel so good helping other humans. And once I started to put my hand up and say, all right, I need help, so many people came out of the woodworks and was like, I'm here to help. What can I do to support you? Just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
Absolutely. And I resonate thing about asking for help, because that was a similar situation for me, in the thick of just being a booze hound, where I just for ages wouldn't ask for help, because if it was like being a man thing, you have to handle your shit. And then I had a window where I was okay, I'm gonna ask my mum for help. And then I did, and that, like I was saying to someone yesterday, that just started the chain reaction, which has led me to sitting here today.
Oh, I love that. Well done.
So and come off, ice, and then, but I guess the underlying issues are still there, which is then paraded into binge eating. Now binge eating would be a different one, because we still have to eat.
This is the thing, it's around you all the time. I actually think that was harder to get off than ice. And that's because everything you do is food. Like, do you want to catch up? Yeah, we'll catch up for lunch. Do you want to go for a walk? Yeah, we'll get a coffee. Like, it's a, not that I drink coffee, but, we'll get a matcha latte. Or it's like consistently around you. And it's also like so accessible, where like I'd actually have to like call my ice dealer, go out and meet him, give him some money, where I can literally walk anywhere and get food. Like, it is so accessible. And so that was fucking triggering for such a long time. And really what cured it was I went vegan. And going vegan, I can't eat half of the shit that I wanted to. Macca's, KFC, fish and chips, like so many things that I loved to eat. Even like my apple pie and my... Actually, apple pies are vegan, most of them. but cream. You know, and back then when I went vegan, there wasn't as many options as there are now, which I'm so thankful for. And when I went vegan, I literally dropped weight within... probably like 4 months. I shedded like 10 kilos, just naturally, because I just made better choices. And then also too, because I went like down the rabbit hole of like farming and where our meat comes from and all this sort of stuff, it made me really conscious of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's about the animals. Like I love little baby cows and I love little chickens and I love animals so much that I was like, all right, I've now linked it. Okay, now I don't want to eat this. All right, well, what else don't I want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started feeling better, fuck, I felt like I was high naturally because I was eating such good food.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, okay, all I had to do this whole time was go vegan and my problems go away. Oh my God. And then that also, there's this huge change when I went and became vegan. I stopped being angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped really overthinking and having this like huge ego to always be something that I'm not. It was just like, it fully relaxed me and chilled me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, And one of my girlfriends, she'd been vegan for 10 years at this point, and she was always like, babe, you're so angry. Go vegan and you won't be angry. And I was like, really? Is that a thing? And I don't know if she programmed me unconsciously, but I tell you, Will, as soon as I went vegan, I'd chill the fuck out.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, life's really beautiful.
Mm.
And then my heart chakra was so much more open and I was starting to come into alignment with friends that are really beautiful and wholesome and they had different hobbies. I think that's a really big thing, was that my friends in Melbourne, when I was living in Melbourne, by the way, my whole ice addiction, binge eating disorder, da da da, was all Melbourne based.
Mm.
And the lifestyle that I was living there was eyelashes all day, every day, drugs, alcohol, binge eating. Like, it was just this whole cycle. But my girlfriends were all like that. My friends were all like that. Like, our common interest was to get a couple bags, you know? We didn't have, like, babe, what kind of meditation are you doing? Oh, my God, what kind of book are you reading? What vegan food did you eat?
Yeah.
Where, like, then when I moved, so during COVID, I actually escaped Melbourne and I came up here and lived with these beautiful hippie vegans and they were the ones who introduced me to veganism and they ate organic and they really looked after themselves. They went to hot yoga a few times a week. I was meditating. I was listening to Hare Krishnas every day. I was eating organic food. I was like, this is the life. And then I met other people, other friends that were on that same vibration, and my hobbies were like, all right, what I actually desire today is to listen to a beautiful book, to eat some yummy food, to journal, to take time for myself. I was like, what is this life? I was like, fuck, this is the way forward, people. Like, this is what I want to do. And so it was a no-brainer. I was like, I've got to go back to Melbourne, sell my car, sell my furniture, sell my business. Like, I'm out. I'm tapping out of Melbourne and I'm also tapping out of the friends because I knew that those friends were not serving me. And I'm sure you guys have already heard a lot of successful entrepreneurs talk about this. You are who you surround yourself with. And so at that point, I was like, I'm done with my girlfriends that just care about bitching and just care about who the fucking next and what bags they're doing this weekend or what clubs they're going to. And I was like, that has to change. And the new friends that I have in Queensland, well, they're spiritual. They go to yoga. They journal. I'm like, what is this life? They go to the beach and they just sit at the beach with nothing else, with no drinks in their hand. I was like, what do you mean? And I was still, actually, I was smoking, forgot about that, smoked off and on basically for years as well.
Okay. Oh, there's another thing.
Guys, of course there's another thing. Add it to the fucking list. And so I come up here and I'm sitting on the beach, smoking darts, left, right and center. And then one day I just had this like, I need to stop smoking darts as well. I was like, oh, fuck. This is the last layer, you know? And then I had actually moved up to the Gold Coast with one of my best friends and our interests were starting to change. And then, you know, when her and I actually stopped being friends, I was like, this is my last link. Like, this, she's the only connection I have to my Melbourne life. Like, I'm going to shed my Melbourne life. And it was such a huge event. I sat on the beach for 2 weeks crying. I was like, what is my identity? This person that I had created for 10 years, this party girl that is this total extrovert, even though inside was like dying, you know, this whole identity had to die. And it took me like 2 or 3 weeks. I had to mourn that old version of myself to then fully come into this new version of myself. And then when I was here, I was so guided to do quite a lot of different studies up here to then be a coach. And I was like, all right, if I can get myself off ice, if I can get myself out of binge eating and all these other addictions, then I can really get out of anxiety and depression, then I can actually help people. And I had this like realization that I should be a coach. And two of my friends, they were coaching, they were really successful. They were like, dude, you can earn a lot of money and you can help a lot of humans. Like, what the fuck? It's a win-win. And I was like, oh, right, that sounds amazing. And so, sure enough, did a lot of studying and then slowly but surely started this beautiful coaching business that has now been able to help, I think, probably about 70 people out of anxiety and depression in the last year, which is pretty cool. And now I'm shifting into helping entrepreneurs start their business so that they can make a bigger ripple effect. My intention is to, you know, help like thousands of people this year, based on the leaders that are coming into my awareness now. So super cool.
Well, super cool.
Super cool.
And I mean, even with helping others, I mean, for people in recovery, people who've done 12-step programs, the last step is being in service of others, of helping another addict.
I love that. Yeah.
And then even people who haven't been on that path with problems with substance abuse, a lot of them find fulfillment with their lives by being in service of others and helping others.
Totally.
Which is at the core of a lot of these coaches is, just the desire to help others.
Genuine passion, And I think also too, I always say this to my clients, is every single story you have ever been through is someone else's survival guide. And you clearly went through it so that you can get through to the other side and now help those other humans that are behind you, you know, give them that rope, let them pull themselves up, pull them, tug them a couple times, like, you know, have that flow and effect of you actually being able to really step into this teacher role. And it feels so fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Because, I mean, to use an example for, you know, in the regards of like physical exercise. So a lot of people get personal trainers.
Yes.
Because, like, if you struggle with motivation to go to the gym or to do exercises, having someone there to just essentially just be accountability.
Yeah.
To just to keep, you know, pushing for your whatever physical goals that you have.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a guy who he went to the gym with his personal trainer. He thought he didn't see the point in the personal trainer because he's like, well, I can do this myself.
Yeah.
But his partner did. And it was more or less, it was because she felt more accountable that, oh, well, I got to show up for this guy to come do the exercise.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people get personal trainers, for their physical health. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be any surprise that people would get coaches in other areas.
Yeah,
in their
that's
lives.
Right. And I always say this at the start of coaching someone too. If, let's say, you know, you're 200 kilos and you wanted to lose, you know, half of that weight, you can't just exercise for 2 or 3 weeks and eat some salads and have a magical experience overnight and lose that weight dramatically overnight. It has to be like a long-term situation. Like, how can you change the 1%ers in your life so that over a whole year you are completely evolved? And so with my one-on-ones, I actually mentor them for 6 months, especially business owners, is, you know, we've got to take off the roles that they're playing, really get into like where their blocks are, their limiting beliefs. And it's like, okay, how can we set up your funnel system? How can we set up your business long term? And it's a 6 month integration. You know, we're going to do some teach pieces and then there's other work to do. And it's like, you've got consistent homework every single day. Meditate, make sure you meditate every single day. Make sure you do your affirmations, make sure you stand in alignment, blah, 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 whatever it might be. And it's funny, actually, I've just started seeing a PT and I'm actually in such a hardcore gym. They all compete. They're actually all competing this weekend. And fuck, they train hard.
Yeah.
And their mindset is so different to going to another gym. Like, I used to do F45 and I've dabbled in a couple of PTs here and there. And these people are hardcore. Their mindset is like, you can go another 10. And I'm like dying. I'm like, you know, my hands are like starting to shake. And it is just your mindset. Like, this beautiful trainer I have, shout out to Kathy, love you. She's like, Natalie, you can do another 2. You can do another 2. And I'm like, yo, I can. And then I go again. And then I'm like, fuck, it's just the power of your mind. However, I know that I'm locked and loaded with her for at least the next year, right? Because I want to see the change long term. And then also, you know, I'm now seeing someone who's helping with my health, with my food, and there's supplements I'm taking. It's like all the little things all contribute to one, and it's the same with your mind, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and if you don't have any idea on lots of these things, why not invest in someone who has more of an idea than you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it brings it back to what you were saying before about who you're surrounding yourself with. So, if you're in a gym surrounded by a bunch of nutcases who...
Yep.
Slob it out, then you're going to be a nutcase in no time as well.
Yes! I've actually never in my life thought about competing ever. And now I'm in this gym where everyone competes and I'm seeing these people and their bodies and the transformation that they can do. I'm like, fuck, this is pretty cool.
Mm.
And then I've been thinking the last couple of days, could I compete? And then I was like, nah. I'm not disciplined enough in that area. However, who knows?
Yeah.
You never know what the future's going to hold, hey?
Who knows?
Wild.
Who knows what it could bring? Because even, like with food, like because when I quit drinking, like I was 120 kilos. So I...
Yeah, right.
But I didn't lose the weight when I stopped. I mean, I was drinking excess amount for getting lots of empty calories that way. But then even when I stopped drinking, like I was still not... I was still... Because I was eating terribly.
I was going to say, were you eating like shit all the time too?
Yeah. Well, I never really had any structure with eating either.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't be eating... I guess I'd be mostly eating lots of sort of different shit, probably like, you know, your macro type proteins, carbs and fats and all that stuff, which, I mean, I've got a grasp of, but I don't be too knowledgeable on it. But yeah, like in regards to the long committing for the long haul of like, if you want to lose weight, like for me, I just started going for walks one day. That was just the decision. I was going to go walk for 15 minutes and then the next day I just went for a bit further and a bit further.
Good on
you. But I mean, like, the main thing was eating.
Yeah, totally.
So I was like, okay, the way it sounds like you went to veganism was just like, I'm just going to restrict myself and then just like, all right, well, I'm not going to eat anything besides vegan food. So like, for me, it was okay, well, I'm not going to have any food in the house because it was just, I don't have any...
I did that too. Yeah. I did that a couple of times. I did every fad diet you could ever think of. I went carnivore before I went vegan, actually. Babe, I was hardcore on the Joe Rogan podcast every fucking day. And he talks about it so much. Yeah. I was like, I've got to try this thing. Mm. And I'm all in when I do things, right? Mm. That's why I was all in being a drug addict.
Yeah.
And that's why I was all in being a binge eating disorder. I'm all in.
All in.
And I tried carnivore and I was like, all right, I'm getting results. Like I started dropping the weight. But then, of course, like any fad diet, I stacked it on afterwards. Mm. And I went through the whole period of like not having anything in the house.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because then I'd just get like meal plans. I used to get U-Foods.
Oh,
and then it was just
went
like...
through U-Foods as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, like within a couple of months, it was just, you know, 120 to 93.
Wow, and good on you.
Yeah. And then, like, I started... I mean, I didn't go back into the gym until, like, a year and then started, you know, then I'd weight would sort of go up and down. And I'm kind of at a place where, yeah, it could be... I've had times where mentally, like, because I didn't want to go back to being fat.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, well, I can't eat anything bad.
Yeah.
So then you have that. And then if you just... lose it, then you just binge and then just
Oh no, that fucking loop. I fucking looped a couple of times.
Yeah. So there's that as well. And I mean, I may or may not have a packet of Tim Tams in the fridge, so
we don't know.
We don't know. So
now if you have the packet of Tim Tams, right, I'm sure you can eat one or two and be satisfied. You might have another third and then you might stop. And then a couple of days later you have one. Are you like that?
No.
Now? No. Okay, right. See, now I'm like at the point where I'm like, I buy probably like a block of dark chocolate a week and I'll have like one or two squares a day.
Mm.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm all right. Like I don't need to like binge a whole thing.
Yeah. Nah, for
I feel
me,
like I've got a bit more.
You've probably got a bit more self-control.
Self-control, that's the word. Whittle, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I just have one or two and it's just like, no, the rest of it's in there. Just get rid of it.
Look, it depends what it is, isn't it? It's so funny.
But, you know, you talked about what you were saying was about for the people that you coach, it was peeling off the masks and the mental blocks and the self-beliefs. So I guess you've done that for yourself as well and was, I guess, were the main things, like you think you're saying, well, not good enough.
Yeah,
all that sort of
thing. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Abandonment, and then a couple of masks. I actually like love teaching about this. Is there's different masks that we play in our life, and that we identify as these masks, and that becomes our whole character. So for all the girls out there listening to this, if anyone stepped into that role of being a caregiver, like doting over people all the time, always having to do things for other people, because that's how you actually get love. I've played that role a lot in the past. Also the victim role, like, oh, you're always getting sick and I'm always getting, like, something's always wrong, and complaining and complaining and complaining. And there's a lot of studies that have actually shown that complaining is actually an addiction and you actually get dopamine off complaining. Mm. I didn't know this until like 2 weeks ago. Oh, I was geez. Like, that is fascinating. And then there's another role that we like to play, I in the past like to play, was the people pleaser. Mm. Like always doing things, always saying yes to other people because I felt like I needed to say yes because I wanted them to like me and I wanted to make sure that they liked me because I wanted to fit in, you know. Mm. And then another role that's a really big one is the lone wolf. So always doing things alone because you're scared to actually be in the pack. You're always isolating yourself because it's like that fear of being seen. It's the fear of saying the wrong thing. It's the fear of saying the right thing. Mm. And then, like, there's so many different roles. It's the jester. I've played this a lot in the past. It's still a role that I choose to identify with sometimes.
Mm.
The jester means that you're funny. You always make jokes to make sure people are included and always make you're always being a goof to make sure that, yeah, like, everyone's included and no one's missing out.
Mm.
And I feel like when I'm in a big group of people, if I know someone's, like, out of place, I can feel it energetically. So I'm like, come on, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And I kind of play this jester role a little bit.
Is that also, like, making jokes all the time because you don't want people to
It can be that as well. It's like a reflective, don't get too deep, don't get too close, don't see all the way in. Mm. I'm scary, you know. And this is the mask.
Mm.
It's like something on our face that we can't, like, they won't actually see through.
Mm.
And yeah, I find it sad that we keep playing these roles. However, it's quite a conditioning thing. Like, you know, from the ages of 0 to 7, your brain gets programmed based on environment, based on your relationships, your caregivers, music, all these things actually shape who we are from 0 to 7 and fully programmed. So those programs start rewiring in the unconscious mind. And so we take on these roles based on how we see our parents. So if someone's mum was a really good mummy and always mummed over and always caregived over them, then naturally, let's say it's a daughter and a mum, naturally the daughter will also step into that caregiver role.
Mm.
And then also too, then this is where the whole like masculine and feminine balance thing comes in, is like some woman over caretake so much that they're so in their masculine that they then demasculate the men. And then this is like polarity, why they're not actually having sex in their relationship. This is why they're not actually getting really deep in their relationship. And the caregiver is like always really strong and always being there for the person, where if the woman is in the caretaker role and she's not being feminine, she's not in her flow, then the masculine is not going to meet her halfway. So then there's like this dynamic of the masculine and the feminine that's not actually balanced.
Mm.
And then we see like unhealthy toxic masculinity, and then we see a lot of men not being warriors, and we see a lot of women overstepping the mark too. And yeah, these roles come into the masculine and feminine, and it's kind of like we're identifying as something else or someone else that is not necessarily us. And so the question I love to ask my clients is, when you go within and when you're meditating, when you're in this beautiful deep state of meditation, ask yourself on repeat, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And one of my favorite spiritual teachers in the world, his name's Muji. He's an enlightened master from the 7th dimension. He's a Jamaican man. And he is currently in Spain, I believe. He has this beautiful meditation that allows you to come back to yourself. And it is this looping of your consciousness, looping down in a spiral of who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I? And it gets you to this very fine point of you having this breakthrough of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
When I was telling you, when I lived with the vegans, when I first moved up to the Gold Coast, I did a lot of Muji's meditations.
Mm.
And for days on end, I did this meditation, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I? And I believe that that meditation was, again, another huge turning pivotal point in my life that allowed me to come back into myself of holy shit, I've got all these fucking rolls and all these layers of bullshit over my body and over my identity, my personality that isn't actually me. And I've suppressed who I really was for years and allowing myself to just come back to who am I, allowed me to then become who I am, Natalie Patterson. So,
who is Natalie Patterson now?
She is such a cool human. I believe I'm a starseed. Mm-hmm. I believe that I'm here to shift the Earth's consciousness to the fifth dimension. I believe that I will shake humanity. And I've got some huge things in the pipeline, actually. I'm wanting to run big events all over Australia and then hopefully take it globally. I also want to start a podcast soon as well, which is really cool. And so I'm now the founder of a company called Starseed Society, which is my incredible business that I absolutely love and am so passionate about. And my intention for Starseed Society is to awaken all the starseeds to build a society.
Yeah, what is a starseed?
Oh, my God, great. Okay, we're just going to take a sip of water.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, Rum, put their seatbelts on, buckle in tight. This is going to get real wacky. Okay, so for all those woo-woo lovers, welcome. For all those people that are on the fence of being woo-woo, welcome. I'm the woo-woo-est bitch you'll ever meet. So a starseed is a being from a different dimension. And there is about 24 different races, okay? So we live in the third dimensional reality. Beyond the third dimension, there are different dimensions that go up and up and up and up and up. Through those dimensions are star systems and star races. So do you believe in aliens? Come on. Come on. Of course you do. Surely you can't believe that we're the only humans, like, in the universe.
Where are they?
In different dimensions.
In different dimensions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just like, surely...
Surely we're not the only ones. Come on.
Will, come on now.
They should be here by now
and taking over, I guess.
Well, it's our consciousness that can't connect to them. So it's all about vibration and frequency and consciousness. So I'm going to say you do believe in aliens. Can we loop back there? Because it's an open loop now, Will.
Yeah, let's just say I do.
Okay, great. Everyone, we've got a winner, chicken dinner. He does believe in them. Okay, great. So star seeds are beings. Look, they don't like to identify as aliens. They like to identify as beings because aliens in the third dimensional reality, which is what we live in, has a really bad rap based on the fact that Hollywood has really slammed the whole alien thing. And these beautiful beings are here with love and vibration. So the highest vibration, which I believe is about 780 hertz frequency, is enlightenment. We've got love, we've got joy, we've got empowerment. They're the highest hertz frequencies that we can feel as humans. These beautiful beings, they radiate at such a high frequency, at such a high consciousness, that they are in different dimensions. So we, our bodies, like, this is matter. We can see it physically right now. When you close your eyes and do meditation, when you do breath work, when you're connecting to higher consciousness, it's all using your imagination, right? Okay. So our imagination is actually the fifth dimension. We have, in the, look, this is my belief system. You can totally choose to reject this statement. However, this is pretty real. Okay, let's just get into it. So the fifth dimension is our imagination. When we were little kids, did you ever have any imaginary friends?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We've got to believe her, everyone. We've got to believe her. Okay. So your imaginary friends, right, were different beings from different dimensions, probably all spirits, quite literally. Your pineal gland, your third eye, gives us access to higher consciousness, different dimensions. And by the time we're 6 years old, most people, like, the percentage is very high. Most people's third eye is actually calcified, which means it's hard, rock hard. When our third eye is open and activated, we're able to see into different dimensions, which means we're able to shift our consciousness into higher dimensions to be able to see different things. So throughout my journey, Will, I have raised my vibration so much, I've been able to expand consciousness so much that I'm able to quite literally see spirits, see these beings, and actually connect to them. And so this is a journey that I was trying to do for years. And these beautiful star seeds are beings from different dimensions that are here to help us on Earth. So I would actually go as far as saying you're a star seed, just letting you know. You should do some research later. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All humans, I believe, that are waking up in this period of this shift in consciousness, because let's get real, the last 2 or 3 years, COVID was honestly a blessing for the amount of people that woke up to what's really going on. That is, they don't want to work in mundane jobs that don't serve them and feel good. They want to get off alcohol and drugs. They want to meditate. They want to connect. They want to feel connection with themselves and with other people. And this beautiful concoction of love and vibration, let's call it, has allowed us to all expand our consciousness. And this has also allowed us to see what's real. I believe, my own belief system, is that all of the people that are activated and all the people that are awakened. What is that word? That are woke folks. We are all star seeds. What that means is before we came into Earth, we signed a contract saying, hey, 2021 in December, I'm going to start a business doing this to help humanity do this. That is your soul mission, right? And we all have these contracts. We come into Earth, we have these soul contracts, and we are here to deliver the contract. So the star seeds come from different races. So like, I'm a Kiwi. Are you full Aussie?
Yeah.
Aussie. Yeah. So I'm full Kiwi, you're Aussie. So let's say we are both different races right now. So up in the universe, we could be from different starseed races as well. And that just means that, like, in our past life, perhaps we were starseeds in that race. And then we chose to come down at this point to awaken, to fulfill our mission. Now, right now, your mission is to spread awareness, right? And to help other humans through, you know, alcohol, substances, and all the different things. My mission right now is to help elevate other entrepreneurs so that they can make the ripple effect in their business. And so we're both serving. Like, we're fully here serving humanity, right? Yeah. And like, are you fucking super passionate about it, babe?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm super fucking passionate about it. Like, this is all I actually do in my life.
Yeah.
And I love it. And so what made us awaken? Like, what was it, right? When we actually think about it, I'm like, oh, okay, it makes so much sense. We're all star seeds. We've all awoken at this time, and we're all here to raise consciousness. We're all here to awaken. And then when we get into, like, you know, really woo-woo things like manifestation and calling things in, we know that if we can raise our vibration to a high hertz frequency, then we're able to call in what we want energetically, and it actually comes in like this beautiful vortex. You think about someone like Abraham Hicks, who's written like trillions of different books, maybe like 5 different books on vibration and frequency and calling that into our awareness. And you think about someone like Joe Dispenza, who's quite literally just blown up right now. He speaks about heart head coherence and that there being like a torus field around us. And this is all energy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's bridging the gap between spirituality and science now, which is so fucking phenomenal. So a lot of people that are really stuck in the third dimension are starting to listen to his stuff and being like, oh, this guy's actually a neuroscientist. Like, he must know some shit.
Yeah. Well, I got his book last year and I started reading it, but I stopped reading it because it was above my pay. It's not over there. It'll be in the drawer there. But yeah, like, I struggled.
The language?
I struggled to understand what it was, all about.
What was the book?
It was The Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
Right, yeah.
That one, yeah.
Yep, yep.
So yeah, But I was going through a phase of like reading a book a week, so I was just firing through books.
That's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You should try it again now, though, because you never know. Your language has probably changed. Your consciousness has probably shifted. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, it's possible. Though. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot to indulge in.
Yes, guys. I hope you love it.
Here's me thinking just like, oh, it'll be a simple thing what starseed is, and it's just... we've opened a can of worms there.
Yes, we have. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Well, thank you for joining us today, Natalie. That's Thanks. Been quite a journey. lots of different things to take away. And I'm sure our listeners will get a lot out of it. Well, I'll ask you one last question.
Okay.
What's the best piece of advice you've received?
It's so cliche. And it's so corny. It's be yourself. Show up as all of you, and fully be okay to be seen.
And how would you go about learning how to be yourself?
I would say sit with yourself without distractions and tune into why you are here on earth, what you love, what are you passionate about, what are your deep desires. And I would say take one action step every day to doing that, becoming that version of you that you really deeply desire.
Yeah, and I certainly would say it's important to remove distractions when doing that. And I guess with relation to this podcast, that would be addictions, drugs, alcohol, and all that.
Totally, yeah. Because,
I mean, certainly for myself to start exploring all this stuff, I didn't have the capacity to if I was just incapacitated with copious amounts of alcohol in my system. So yeah. I can certainly recommend people doing that because, who knows what you might find. You'd probably be better off.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know. I mean, who I was before when I was a drinker. I mean, I don't know. Much lower vibration.
Look at you go. You're amazing. Yes. And also too, your mindset, everything would have, your lights on. Oh, no, what's the saying? Lights on, no one's home.
Lights on, no one's home.
Yeah. And that's before the awakening, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you get it. Now it comes full circle, guys.
We got it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you. Awesome.
Awesome. This has been the Last Strings Podcast. I'm Will Hitchens. We'll see you in the next one.
Goodbye.